This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Chuang, Chen Li and Shazana. Now, yesterday, Bank Negara Malaysia released three reports: the 2021 Annual Report, the Economic and Monetary Review 2021, and the Financial Stability Review for the second half of 2021. Now, these three reports are keenly reviewed by economists and analysts as they provide deep insight into the general macroeconomic health of the country, whilst also providing an important outlook for the year.
In addition to the forecast for key economic data, it was revealed by Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Nur Shamsiah Mohamed Yunus that the winners of the five digital bank licenses will be revealed in the near future upon completion of the legal process. Interestingly, the government also emphasized that structural reforms are needed to address income and cost factors to enhance households' resilience against future shocks.
So to help us unpack this data-rich report, we have with us Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist at the Malaysian Rating Corporation Berhad, or MARC. Firdaus, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Now, give us your first impressions and key takeaways from the annual report presentation. Was there anything that surprised you?
Hi, good morning. Let me start. There are good, bad and ugly. Okay, so let me start with the good part. Our growth projection is still within the official estimates, despite the downward revision in the 2022 growth. So our projections are not usually on the dot, but it's close enough. So it is a good thing. Secondly, despite the downward risk to growth, it is highly probable that the Malaysian economy will fare much better this year compared to last year. Last year's growth story was terrible. Our growth was one of the lowest in the region. So this year is going to be a good thing. So it's comforting to hear this from the central bank. It's a feel-good factor. Thirdly is the buildup of financial vulnerabilities from the extended period of historically low interest rate has been well contained so far. That's a good thing as well. Now, the bad thing. I'm afraid that the 0.2 percentage points decrease in the 2022 growth projection now doesn't mean much. Because the downside risks emanating from COVID-19, geopolitical conflicts, and expectations of high inflations actually take the center stage more. So there are quite a number of risks that Bank Negara highlighted yesterday, but it results in 0.2 percentage point decrease. This is by no means to say that I'm not in agreement with Bank Negara projection whatsoever. Actually, I do. Especially the 9% increase in private consumption, which I think it is highly possible, assuming that 2022, this year, is an election year. For context, in 2018, it was 8% year-on-year growth as far as private consumption is concerned. So that's the not-so-great thing. Mm-hmm. So the ugly bit. Bank Negara places COVID-19 as the highest downside risk to growth this year, particularly with the emergence of vaccine resistance variants of concerns. So what this means is that Malaysians are more quote-unquote rational in their spending and investment decisions. Simply put, we are more risk-averse. We are more receptive to threats than opportunities from the economic standpoint. So what it means is that, you know, it will take a while for us to regain our animal spirit and get the discretionary spending going.
Yeah, Firdaus, so the range of growth by Bank Negara, 5.3 to 6.3%, that's actually quite a wide range. If assuming 6.3% occurs, I mean, that's quite optimistic. As you say, Malaysians are quite risk-averse now. We're much more aware, right? Where does that 6.3% come from?
Well, it's a couple of... they mentioned private consumption is one of them. They are looking at investments, high investments this year as well, with the revivals of projects, and there were probably a couple of smaller projects that will feed into the number as well. And I think the overall gradual economic opening with higher tourism receipts, higher spending coming from APF withdrawals, which Bank Negara mentioned yesterday, approximately about 200 million ringgit. So that is. Those are the things that will feed into the growth story for this year.
So Bank Negara is also forecasting headline inflation to average between 2.2 and 3.2% in 2022. Is this a realistic projection? And how will this play into the wider economic situation, especially since energy and food prices remain elevated?
I think it is because we at Merck are also projecting inflation to be to come in at 2.3%, which falls within the lower end of the Bank Negara's range estimate. So the price pressures are mostly externally induced. Otherwise, inflation is going to be fairly manageable. So despite the higher commodity prices, inflation will be well contained in the near to long average term, given the deployment of price control and anti-profiteering measures, price ceilings and subsidies by the government, etc. But the higher production costs and cost of living could impede domestic demand and thus slow down growth as well. But we can't tell why the top end of the Bank Negara estimate is rather high. Mm. Most likely it's because of the rising core inflation, which has been on the upward momentum amid higher global oil prices that drive up basic food prices.
Mm. Let's talk about trade a bit, Firdaus. Bank Negara Malaysia has also said the external sector will continue to be supported by global demand, with gross exports projected to grow by 10.9%. And this is compared to 26% in 2021. I mean, what do you account this reduction in projections? Is this due to the ongoing Russia-Ukraine crisis, or is it simply down to like a low base effect?
Perhaps to some extent, yes. You're right. A double export, double-digit export growth is still positive and still at currently as well. And that will feed into a higher current account growth, which is estimated to be around 4.2 to 4.7. So we don't need to worry so much in the short term. So like what you said, the higher growth in trade this year is going to be pretty much expected, with even without geopolitical crisis, because of the base effect.
Yeah, Firdaus, so one of the reasons why inflation may not be as elevated as, say, the US is because we are a very highly subsidized country, right? So a few days, I think about a week ago, Finance Minister Tengku Zafran was in London. He talked to fund managers about quite a few economic metrics and developments. One of the things he talked about was the new subsidy mechanism, possibly out within 6 months. And that does not just apply for petrol, but also for electricity and cooking oil. So what do you know about what could be in the offing where the subsidy mechanism is evolved?
Yeah, so you see, the most likely the wide range for in inflation projection from 2.2 to 3.2 is probably because the cheeky side of me is saying that the APM may return possibly this year, but I don't know, I can't tell for sure. But you're right, maybe it's an early indication that some of these subsidies would probably be looked into by the government and maybe rationalized further. There will be some perhaps more targeted way and let market to decide the actual or rather the new equilibrium for many of these control items. So that's probably an indication, but I can't tell for sure. It's just the cheeky side of me again saying all these things.
Let's talk about our household debt to GDP ratio. It fell from 89.6% to 89% last year, which is still on the higher end when compared to our regional economies. Like Singapore is only at 69.7%, Indonesia 17.2%. How concerned should we be with our household debt to GDP ratio, and how can the government address this?
Okay, a couple of things. Number one, the ratio is now quote unquote lower because of the larger denominator. Secondly, compared to the pre-pandemic period, housing debt generally considered to be less risky as a share of household debt has actually increased. Meanwhile, personal financing has decreased a little bit, and outstanding credit card debt also has decreased, recorded declines in the second half of last year compared to the same period in 2020, in line with lower discretionary spending during periods of containment measures. Consequently, the share of consumer credit as a proportion to aggregate household debt also declined to 31.1%. Household debt to GDP ratio will remain high, we think, as long as the government encourages home ownership and private vehicle ownership. So if you were to ask me how to address this, number one, I'm a strong believer in public housing. And because we don't want to push mid and lower income earners away from central business districts. So public housing is one way to go. Secondly, the government has to give us more BMWs. What I mean by BMWs is buses, MRTs and walkways.
That's a BMW that I can get behind, Firdaus, indeed. Firdaus, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Firdaus Rosli, Chief Economist at the Malaysian Rating Corporation Berhad, or Mark, giving us the key highlights coming out from Bank Negara's annual report presentation yesterday. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.